podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Fire for them, fire for them. If you're looking for that 35 bag umbrella and all damn thing there, keep it locked with this Dissonomics podcast.
Yo, 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 you're now listening to another episode of the Dissonomics podcast. Happy Easter. Hope you had a great Easter bank holiday weekend with your friends and family. Weather wasn't too bad, so hopefully I saw some people at the day parties, family time, bars, restaurants, a couple of Rock Nation brunches. And you people in Ghana, must be nice. Anyway, make sure you check out last week's episode. It's on YouTube. The last two episodes now on YouTube. That's youtube.com/Dissonomics. If you're listening to this via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast from, there will be a link in the description to the YouTube page, so make sure you check that out. And if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you give a like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell so whenever my episodes drop, you are there. Do you know what I mean? We're going to do more of the YouTube now. We're getting the episodes on, but we're going to do more like bespoke content for YouTube. Yeah, we're just warming. This week, we're going to do an episode regarding interest rates, and everybody should care because interest rates impact every single one of you. Maybe you're not unemployed babies because you lot are just not paying taxes, just eating milk, causing carnage, like my one, do whatever you want. But for all us adults, interest rates impact us all and impact the economy, right? So this week's episode, we're going to focus on interest rates, and it's called How Interest Rates Ruin My Life.
Hi, it's MXM, and listen to the Dissonomics podcast because it's lit.
Long time Dissonomics listeners, so I've been doing this for damn near, 8 years since October now, probably have a good grasp of what interest rates are. But for those who aren't quite aware of, kind of heard of it or have a rough idea, interest rate is simply put, it's effectively the price of money. And it's the cost of borrowing, right? So interest rate simply is the cost of borrowing, right? It's the cost of doing business. You have a loan and then there's a percentage added on top to that loan and that's what you pay back. So you get the principal, so that's the loan. So if I borrow £100 from the bank of mum and dad with an interest rate of 10%, the principal is £100 and the interest rate is £10 because I'm paying 10% of the principal, which is the £100 amount, which means £110. I will pay back the bank of mum and dad with £110. So that's interest rates, right? So we think of interest rates in terms of borrowing. So that's how much borrowing costs. But we also have to think of interest rate on the flip side. So if you have a savings account, an interest rate is the amount of money the bank or the building society or whatever fund pays you for them being allowed to hold your money. So again, so if you have £100 in a Barclays savings account, Barclays ISA, and they are charging you 10%, or they're offering you 10% if you're lucky. If you keep £100 in that account, you will gain £10 on top, making it £110. So that's what interest rate is. So currently, interest rates are at a crazy high right now, right? In the UK, we have an interest rate of 5.25%. This is a massive number. Why? It's because ever since the financial crisis in 2007/2008, interest rates have been super low. I'm talking very low. And once COVID came, they slashed them. They were damn near 0%. 0%, 0.25%. So interest rates were super low and they were encouraging people to spend money because when you spend money, you push your economy along. So if I go to McDonald's and spend £10 at McDonald's, I'm putting £10 into the tills of McDonald's. What does that enable McDonald's to do? Enables McDonald's to hire out staff, right? And the staff also get paid. And with their money, they go to Asda, they go to Selfridges, they go to Waitrose, they go to KFC, McDonald's. So money circulating economy. So you need consumption to make money circulate. If nobody's spending money, people stop producing goods and services because people aren't buying these goods and services. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. Imagine you making 100 pizzas and you're only selling one. There's no point. You might as well stop making one pizza. So that's kind of how the economy works, right? So because of inflation, we've seen, as Dissonomics listeners know and subscribers know, we had double-digit percentage inflation, which is insane because the Bank of England targets 2%. That's a healthy level of growth. Prices are slowly growing, slowly plodding along. 10% is outrageous, hence why we've had a cost of living crisis for damn near 2 years because the cost of everything going up. There was months where food prices were going up by 18%. 18%! Because I remember I used to go to like a random food shop getting bits and pieces in Tesco. It used to cost me like like maybe £7 to £11. Then I start crossing, wait, this jar's costing me 17 and 22s and that. That's when I started to see the actual food inflation in front of my own two eyes, right? So because inflation was so high, they raised interest rates to try to curb this. So how does that work? With interest rates, you're trying to slow down the cost, I mean, the price rises, because if interest rates are higher, that should reduce economic activity because people are now spending less because they can now gain more on their savings. So there's always been an inverse relationship between interest rates and inflation. And also, it's not only does it kind of slow down consumption and spending, it also slows down borrowing because now the price of the cost of borrowing has gone up. So remember, as we said, interest rate is the price of borrowing. So if interest rate used to be like 0.5%, borrowing is calm. You could borrow £1,000 and then you're giving them back £2. Calm. £25. Calm. But if it's 10%, oh my God, now we're giving back £100 on top. So now it is less attractive to borrow. It's more costly to borrow. So now the economy is slowing down and prices should, in theory, reduce. Hence why the Bank of England were raising interest rates on aggressive pace. So you're thinking, okay, Dissonomics, what's the problem? We're trying to tackle inflation. Inflation is getting to a low percentage. In fact, let me even Google the percentage. I actually forgot the inflation rate off the top of my head. UK, inflation rate UK. It was 5.1% in January 2024, right? We will see double-digit numbers last year. So inflation has gone down, and that's probably the only thing the Rishi Sunak government have actually managed to achieve in terms of their objectives. Now, how much of this was due to them? That's for you to decide. So if you get, oh, Dissonomics, cost of living was a big crisis. They've raised interest rates. Cost of living crisis is slowly starting to reduce. We're seeing energy prices come down, so on and so forth. Inflation is down to 5.4%. Why is the title of this podcast / this YouTube video, Interest Rates Are Ruining My Life? Because it is impacting other elements. So we're going to start off with businesses first, right? Impact of business. So as I said before, interest rates are the cost of borrowing, right? Interest rates actually can impact businesses' general operations and their ability to grow, right? Because interest rates, think about it, businesses also have bank accounts. They have they deal with commercial banks, right? So interest rates will impact how much money the banks, I mean, these businesses get by storing their money with these commercial banks, but also what rates these commercial banks can give them when it comes to borrowing, right? And why this impacts businesses is because, one, if interest rates are higher like they are now, the cost of borrowing is high. Businesses tend to borrow to either purchase capital. So let's say I've got a fashion business. I want to make a t-shirt. Maybe I want to buy a print machine. Maybe I want to buy, sewing machines, whatever it might be, right? I need to buy a shop, get a shop or lease a shop. So I want to borrow $100,000 from the bank. Now it's going to be more expensive than ever. So this can impact growth because you might not, as a business, you might not feel that you and this in this juncture, in this year, 2024, I can now go and get this loan because I'm going to pay back a higher premium in comparison to before, right? And also on the flip side is from a revenue perspective, because now in the economy, there's less consumption. Consumers are thinking twice before purchasing stuff. So because people have less money to spend, the chances are you're not making as much money. And now we're not making as much money, that's impacting your profit and loss ratio, right? So you're making less money. So are you going to let it dwindle in and eat or erode all your profits? You're probably going to have to think, okay, cool. Are we going to let people go? Because labor is a fixed cost right now and it's costing us a lot of money. Maybe we have to reduce some of the staff members we have or what other supplies that we can kind of cut corners on to kind of save some money. These are the things that start to impact businesses with regards to interest rates. Now, with interest rates, there's different types of loans that business can get, right? You've got the fixed rate loan. So this is a type of loan that the interest rate is unchanged. So let's say you got a fixed rate loan, you're going to pay 5% over 3 years, no matter what happens, come hella high water, it's the same. There's a variable / floating rate loan. These rates tend to start lower than a fixed rate because you have the risk that they could actually go higher than a fixed rate, or they could potentially go lower than a fixed rate. So for example, the Bank of England starts to up in the interest rate, then the variable loan, you start paying a high interest rate. So let's say, for example, the fixed rate loan you got from the bank was £1,000. For £1,000, you got 5%, right? So 5% of £1,000, you get £50, right? You pay £50 on top. That's the fixed rate. However, the variable might be 1%. So you only pay back £10. But Bank of England said, you know what? Inflation is a mad thing. We're going to, do you know what I'm saying? Increase these interest rates. Interest rate's now 10%. Your variable loan goes, boy, it's 10% for you as well. So now, this is now a 10% interest rate. Now you're paying back £100 on the loan. When the fixed rate, were those more expensive before at £50, because of what's happening in the economy, the variable rate has gone higher. So that's how it can impact businesses, right? It can... So that's the impact on businesses right now. Interest rates are high, so it is kind of dampening growth in the economy because businesses are less likely to go out and get loans to kind of get things cracking because it's expensive to pay back. Now, the most important one, how interest rates are ruining our lives in the terms of housing. Millions of renters are being squeezed by landlords because of the cost of the mortgages are going up, right? So because the interest rates have gone up from like 0.25% peak COVID times to 5.25% as we're speaking right now, that means people's mortgages are going up. So people on variable mortgages, tracker mortgages, they experience this. People who had a nice rate, who had to remortgage, they've been hit by this. Literally everybody I know's mortgage has gone up £400, £600, £1,000, £1,002. People's mortgages are going through the roof. And this is deadly because who's to say that everybody's got this level of disposable income where their mortgages, who's got extra spare £600 where they can absorb this mortgage going up by £600 and they still can do everything else that they need to do in their household, right? It's devious. And this is the same for landlords. They still have, unless you've paid off your house, you're still gonna have the mortgage, right? So now the mortgage has gone up by £600. You're going to pass that cost on to the renters. And what we've seen, and I was looking today, research from the NRLA, which is the National Residential Landlords Association, they found that 60% of landlords expected their mortgage payments to go up. And this is from December 2023. And 25% of these people are looking to remortgage. What's interesting is that profits, people thinking, oh, these landlords, they're so greedy, we need to eat the rich, da-da-da. I hear some of the sentiments. What people really need to understand that is that even the landlords themselves, they're not eating off, well, the majority of them are not eating off this increase in interest rates. Because according to data, I believe it was Savills, this is the lowest rate of profits from landlords since 2007, and that's when the financial crisis happened. Let me just double check that it was Savills who said this. Where did I put that in my notes? I can't find it. Anyway, yeah. So, and what's dangerous is the people who are on the lower end of the scale in terms of income. So, people on lower income who have to experience these higher rents are in big trouble because, as I said, your costs going up by £300, £400, £500, £600. A lot of people can't absorb that. And if the landlords pass that on to the low-income people who are renting privately, they're also in trouble. Even if you look at people on housing benefits have damn near been frozen since the pandemic started in March 2020. And they're still below the level that's probably feasible for private renting. And it's also like, when you look at social houses, there's a shortage, right? There's even, the waiting list is at over 1 million people. And there's still a shortage of social housing. Last June, they said the rental cost has gone up by 5%. And I know that this year it's gone up again by a significant portion. Not all landlords are even able to increase their rents because some actually generally can't increase these rents. And what's happened is that they're just looking to sell their property. And because they're selling their property, what does this mean? The people that are renting there in the first place have to go and find somewhere else. And guess what? The market has gone up anyway. So they're going to look at higher rental fees. And this happens to quite a few people I know where they've been comfortable renting the place, whether it's their partner or by themselves, and their landlord's like, yo, bro, like, we're selling the house because the mortgage is too much. You might as well just cut our losses and take whatever equity we have and keep it sliding. And And according to data from Hampton's Landlord Investors, landlord investors across the UK are now paying £15 billion in mortgage interest alone on an annual basis. This is up 40% from last year. So listen to this. Landlords are paying £15 billion a year on interest alone. So the amount of money being paid on interest alone has gone up by 40% in a year. And one of the key sectors of the housing industry that's impacted by this is buy-to-lets. So this is where people who buy houses off of the strength of they want to rent these houses out to make their nice or passive income. In comparison to people who buy houses to actually want to live and occupy those homes, so home occupiers. So buy-to-let mortgages are the most exposed. 82%, so that's 8 out of every 10 buy-to-let mortgage are currently interest-only mortgages, compared to 11% of home ownership. So if you take 10 people whose home was a mortgage dedicated to them, listen, this is our house, we're living here, 11% of these people, so 1 in 10 of these people, have an interest-only mortgage, whereas 8 out of 10 of the buy-to-let people have an interest-only mortgage. When you have an interest-only mortgage and interest rate goes significantly, it's really, really impacting your bottom line big time. And this is, of course, courtesy of the Bank of England. Bank of England obviously, of course, said higher rents are likely due to rising mortgages and obviously the demand costs. What's interesting is, should I get into this now? Okay, let me get into now before I forget. What's interesting is that the housing industry that we've seen for the last year or so is really slowed down. Usually UK house market goes up by 5-8% every year, especially in London, because the demand is so high. That's why we've seen so many building associations building up these houses quickly, because they're selling them like that. They're selling a lot of houses off plan, whether it be to people, foreign investors from China, Russia, Nigeria, and Arab Emirates, or just people here, right? But what we've seen now is house prices start to slow down. And speaking to some of my friends who have been selling houses, who follow the housing market quite closely, or to just my own research and reading the news and so on and so forth, people are now willing to take a lot less for the houses. Like, one of my good friends was telling me that he saw a property in the market for just under 500k, end up getting sold for 385k, or a good 115k under market. We're seeing different type of schemes from developers where they're trying to gift you some stuff or try and make your mortgage light for a couple years because they are not moving units because the demand is not there. Why? The affordability of mortgages is too much. Like, I'm in a process of like trying to buy, right? And we're looking, boom, 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 going on the young NatWest, do you know what I'm saying? Repayment calculator. I might even slap that here for you and seeing. Even if I have, let's say, a property of 400k, you've got an 80 bag deposit, you're still looking at a repayment of over, and I'm just thinking of from my previous numbers, of over £2,000 a month. This was not happening a couple years ago. I wasn't hearing of like 2,000 repayments unless people were having the big boy cribs, like seven figure cribs. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, the repayments are so high, and because the repayments are so high, this is not an attractive time for buyers to buy. So what they do is they're going to sit on their hands and just wait and hope for interest rates to go down so that repayments can go down. What's interesting is that if you can stomach these repayment rates, you could potentially get discounts on the market because people are selling their houses, they're selling their houses at a discount. Maybe not people who've recently bought their house, like maybe 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and are looking to move to the next, because they've grown to the next stage of their life looking to move. They're probably not looking to sell their house at maybe a loss. But if somebody's house is on the market for, let's say, 500 grand and they've had a house for decades, like, so you're looking at more older properties, they've already paid off the mortgage, they've bought the house for like maybe 185 grand, everything's like, it's basically all prof to them really truly at this rate. They're probably more likely to sell the house for 450 or 420 or 410 or 400 because it's all prof to them at this rate. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Anyway, so if you look at the words from the NRLA, which is the National Residential Landlords Association, this is Ben Beadle. He said, high interest rates put continued pressure on renters as landlords are simply unable to afford growing mortgage costs. Ministers need to accept that tax hikes on the sector have also played a major role in the affordability challenges we now see across the rental market. It's time to reverse course and develop pro-growth tax measures. Without them, it's renters who will continue to struggle as demand outstrips supply and rents goes up. And that's the God's honest truth, because that's what we're seeing. Rents are going crazy. Like, even like, I was even looking in the Stratford area, because I used to live in Stratford, like 2019, 2020, 2021, a two-bed in Stratford, and this is like the good parts of Stratford, you're looking at a calm, like 1.6, 1.8, you know what I mean? Now, it's 2.2. 2.3, 2.4, maybe 2.5. That happened in space of like 2 years. Brutal. So, now let's talk about how interest rates are ruining lives in terms of mortgages. So just under a third of households have mortgages, according to the English Housing Survey. But when interest rates rise or fall, 1.4 million people on tracker and standard variable mortgage rates usually see an immediate change in their monthly payments. And that's what we've seen of a lot of people. So some of my brethren, like, they're on tracker, they instantly got PAM. Some of them, as I said, just coming off a deal, instantly PAM, because you went from, I'm paying 1%, boom, 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 2% to 4%, 5%. Wild. 3/4 of mortgage customers have fixed rate deals, but now some people are now tentative of fixing in at this mortgage, at this repayment rate, because is it really going to be 5% for a couple of years? I don't know. So about 1.6 million deals will expire this year, according to banking trade body UK Finance. So it'll be very interesting to see if people go for tracker or standard variable ones or try to fix it in at this 5%. I'm not too sure what to do. What's interesting is that in 1979, rates were around like 17%, which is crazy. But the difference is, you're probably thinking, but Dissonomics, 17%, you're here complaining, you're here bitching about 5%. The difference is, if you look at the income to house price ratio, then to now it's different. Like, so this is how much a house costs compared to how much we earn. It was a lot closer in the 70s, in the 80s, and in the 90s. Now, our wages have been, you people know me, our wages have been stagnant for damn near 3 decades. But our house prices will keep going up and up and up and up. If our wages go like this, and house prices go like this, there's a big gap there. So that's why we are more susceptible to all these changes, right? So this is why interest rates ruin our lives, because housing tends to be the largest single expense of the majority of households, right? It could be people, economists and personal finance people say you want your housing cost to be about like a third of your income, but it tends to be anywhere between 40-50% of the average person's income. If let's say 40-50% of your expenditure has gone up exponentially, it's very, very difficult for your bottom line. Because you think about, because every month, you know, you get the same amount from your job, whether it be weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, you get, let's say you get £2,000 or £3,000, £4,500, if you're lucky, so on and so forth. But all of a sudden, one of your biggest expenses has gone up by £400. What are you gonna do? It's very difficult. So yeah, that's where mortgages have got us right now. The interest rates have got us right now. They're ruining our lives. And this is not even taking into account credit cards and just general loans, because these are now more expensive because of the strength of interest rates have gone up. So if you want to take a loan to get an engagement ring, you want to buy a luxury watch, and you can't afford to pay it all off in the 12-month interest-free time period, you want to lease a new car. You want to get a loan to do some renovations in your house, or to invest in your business, or to invest in like a master's or something like that, or any other professional qualification, or you want to, do you know what I mean, be an entrepreneur or invest to buy equipment if you want to be creative. Like, taking out loans now are so expensive, and this is really hampering our growth. So this is wrong. Now, the good news is, it looks like the Bank of England are preparing to cut rates. The Federal Reserve, which is the American central bank, they're basically going to cut rates. The Bank of England are expected to cut rates this year. So fingers crossed we get some rate cuts, because we need this ish to get down from 5.25%. So yeah, there it is. That's why interest rates are ruining our lives. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe on Instagram. You're following notification bells on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so forth. And most importantly, tell a friend to tell a friend. On to the next episode. Peace. Bow. Sports Social Podcast Network.